All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Podcast. Want to take this time out to wish all of you fine folks out there the merriest of Christmases and a happy and healthy new year. Now, as we are set to enter the year of 2015, the final week of the regular season in the National Football League is upon us. Now, in week number 16, I went 9-7 with my picks, and I am looking to improve on that as we have 16 games on tap for this Sunday. No Thursday night games this week, no Monday night game this week, as the National Football League wants everybody on equal footing, especially the 12 teams that are heading into the postseason. But speaking of the postseason, there is still plenty that must be decided this Sunday afternoon. And here are my picks for week number 17 in the National Football League. Now you have the 7-8 Cleveland Browns, and they are looking to play spoiler as they will be on the road to meet their AFC North division rivals in the Baltimore Ravens. Now, the Ravens come into this game heavily favored by 13.5 points, and on top of that, the Ravens need to win this game and get some help if they are going to go back to the postseason. Now, you look at the Cleveland Browns, and they are going to be starting an inexperienced quarterback in Connor Shaw. You already have seen the news that Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon has been suspended by the team for this one. So that is one of their big playmakers on the outside right there. Now on the flip side for the Baltimore Ravens, it's all about a balanced attack offensively with Justin Forsett at running back and of course Joe Flacco at quarterback and Steve Smith Sr. at wide receiver. Now this Ravens offense had tough sledding last week on the road against a very tough Houston Texans defense. And I look for Ravens offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak to come out and have his unit clicking on all cylinders. Now, speaking of Connor Shaw at quarterback for the Browns, you better believe that the Baltimore Ravens defense at home, led by outside linebacker Terrell Suggs, they're going to pin their ears back in this one and make life tough for the youngster at quarterback. Thus, I'm going to take the Ravens in this one by the score of 27-17. Now, in the nation's capital, the 11-4 Dallas Cowboys will take on the 4-11 Washington Redskins. Dallas clinched the NFC East last week for the first time since 2009, and a victory over Washington can put them in line for at least a first-round bye in the playoffs. Now, these two teams did meet down at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas earlier this season, and it was the Redskins that shocked the Cowboys. And the Redskins did this by a lot of blitzing under the guidance of their defensive coordinator, Jim Haslett, on Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo. And Romo actually left that game with a back injury. Now, the Redskins had success earlier this season versus the Cowboys due to the fact that they were able to take DeMarco Murray out of the game at running back for Dallas, along with putting consistent pressure on Romo. For Dallas to avoid that, what they have to get in second and short and third and short situations to allow Murray to remain a factor in their offense. I believe that Dallas is going to come out and put on the pressure on Washington in this game in each facet of the game, and they're going to get out early and put Washington in the chase mode. But Washington right now, under quarterback Robert Griffin III, they're not going to shy away, and they are looking to get to the offseason with some type of momentum. They're going to make life tough for the Dallas Cowboys, but in the end, it's going to be Dallas winning this one by the score of 31-24. Now, in the AFC South, the 10-5 Indianapolis Colts travel to Nashville to take on the 2-13 Tennessee Titans. Now, Indy has already clinched the AFC South, and they are favored in this game by a touchdown over the Titans. Now, what the Colts need to do right now is simply get some type of momentum for themselves as they are set to head into the postseason. I said it all season long. The Colts right now are just putting too much on Andrew Luck to do. They have been unable to run the football, and that is not going to be a recipe for success as they get into the postseason. The Colts have to find a way to run the football, and what better way to do it than against one of the worst teams in the National Football League in the Titans. What Indy has to do is get out in front early, put the pressure on Tennessee, and send them to their 14th loss of the season. That's what the Colts are going to do, and I'm going to take Indy on the road in this one by the score of 31-17. Now, another AFC South matchup has the 3-12 Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas to meet the 8-7 Houston Texans. Now, Houston comes into this game favored by 9.5 points over Jacksonville, and a victory along with a lot of help will get the Texans into the postseason. Now, you look at the Jaguars, and of course, rookie quarterback Blake Bortles will have his hands full going up against this Texans front led by Mr. J.J. Watt. On the flip side, Case Keenum was able to come in last week and do just enough to help the Houston Texans get a victory. I believe that's going to be the recipe for success again this week for the Houston Texans. Simply hand the football off to Arian Foster, get out of his way, and allow this ferocious front seven with J.J. Watt, Brian Cushing, and Brooks Reed to go out there and put a ton of pressure on Blake Bortles and force the rookie signal caller into making some turnovers. Houston will win this game by the score of 23-16. Now at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, it's the 9-6 San Diego Chargers traveling to take on the 8-7 Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Kansas City was eliminated from postseason contention last week as they fell on the road to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But KC was able to go to Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego earlier this season and knock off the Chargers, and the Chargers are looking to return the favor. Now, these two teams did meet in Week 17 last year in San Diego, and it was the Chargers that defeated the Chiefs, and they were able to get to the postseason. Now, you look at Phillip Rivers right now, a quarterback for San Diego, one of the toughest and gutsiest men at the position in the National Football League. As reports came out this week that Rivers is possibly playing with a bulging disc, but he's going out there and leading this team and trying to do everything possible in order to get them back to the postseason. Rivers is doing this in spite of the fact that Ryan Matthews, his top running back, has been injured for the majority of the season. Thus, he's had to rely on wide receivers Michael Floyd, Keenan Allen, and of course, the ageless one, a tight end in Antonio Gates. It's been a patchwork effect on the defensive side of the football for San Diego as well. But the bottom line is, this team has a never-say-die attitude. Now, on the flip side for KC, no Alex Smith at quarterback this week, as he is going to be out with a spleen injury. Thus, Chase Daniel will be under center for Andy Reid and the Chiefs. It's amazing that Kansas City has played 15 games this season, and no wide receiver on their squad has yet to catch an offensive touchdown. Jamaal Charles at running back has been Mr. Do-It-All, and San Diego will need 11 pairs of eyes defensively to put a stop to him. But right now, San Diego just seems focused on the postseason, and they're going to do just enough to get there, because if they win this game, they're in. And I'm going to take the Chargers by the score of 27-19. Now, down in South Florida, the 8-7 Miami Dolphins welcome the 3-12 New York Jets to town. Both of these teams are not going to the playoffs in this season, and it more than likely is a swan song for Rex Ryan as the head coach of the Jets. And one thing that you can know about a Rex Ryan coach team, they're going to come out swinging, and they're going to give you everything that they have. The Jets may be undermanned in this game as far as talent goes, but like Rex said when he first came to New York, that his teams were always going to be a tough out, and you can expect the same. Now, I look at this Jets defense to put some pressure on Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill and potentially force him into turning the football over in order to keep this game close. The Jets and Dolphins all have had a deep, storied rivalry going back to the days of the old American Football League, and I think we're in store for another tight game here. But it's going to be Miami that gets the victory at home by the score of 23-20. Now, in the NFC North, the 5-10 Chicago Bears were traveling to take on the 6-9 Minnesota Vikings. the Vikings are only one game better in the win column than the Bears. But it just seems right now that these two franchises are heading in opposite directions. The Vikings tend to be trending up, while the Bears appear to be ready to go into rebuild mode this offseason. Now, Jay Cutler will be back at starting quarterback in this one for Chicago after Jimmy Clausen took over for him last week versus the Lions, only to get injured. Now, for Jay Cutler, it's the same old song, protect the football. The bottom line is, protect the football for Jay. At the same time, the Bears, at this point, just give the football to running back Matt Forte and get out of his way. Why? Because this Bears defense has been unable to stop anybody all season long. And I guarantee you that Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner has something cooked up for his rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to go against his porous Bears defense. Now, speaking of defenses, this Vikings defense under head coach Mike Zimmer will look to make life tough for Jay Cutler. And if he turns the football over two times or more in this one, it's a recipe for disaster for Chicago. Thus, I'm going to take the Vikings at home in a tight one, 27-24. Now, at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, the 8-7 Buffalo Bills travel to take on the 12-3 New England Patriots. New England comes into this game only favored by 5 points due to the fact that New England has already clinched home field advantage throughout the postseason, and they don't have that much to play for. You go back several years, heading into Week 17 in a meaningless game for the Patriots when wide receiver Wes Welker blew out his knee, and it really hampered the chances of the Patriots in the postseason. I think that's going to be in the back of the mind of Patriots head coach Bill Belichick heading into this game, and you should not see that much action from the starters in this one. Thus, the Bills are going to have the opportunity to escape Foxborough with a 24-23 victory. Now, at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, it's the 9-6 Philadelphia Eagles traveling to take on the 6-9 New York Giants. New York comes into this game favored by 2.5 points as they have won 3 games in a row, while Philly, on the other hand, has lost 3 games in a row, and with that, their postseason aspirations for 2014 are out the window. Mark Sanchez is returning to MetLife Stadium, but he's not taking on his old team as he's taking on the Giants. And the Giants defense, which has actually turned into a top 10 unit after struggling at the beginning of the season, will look to make life tough for Sanchez and force him into making some turnovers. The bottom line for Sanchez, hand the football off to running back LeSean McCoy and get out of his way. On the flip side, Philly's defense will have their hands full with Odell Beckham Jr. at wide receiver for the Giants. And this guy, he's only played in 11 games, and he has a good chance to be the NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year for this season. Both the offensive line and the defensive line have been playing better of late for the New York Giants as they are looking to gain all the momentum possible for themselves heading into 2015. It's going to be a classic tight one between the Giants and the Eagles, but I'm going to take New York at home by the score of 27-24. Now, down in Tampa, it's the 2-13 Buccaneers that host the 6-9 New Orleans Saints. The Saints come into this game favored by 4 points, and they have to be one of the biggest disappointments for 2014. This was a team that was expected to dominate the NFC South, but it's New Orleans right now that still has a possibility to lose 10 games this year, and they are going to be watching the postseason from home. The bottom line is for New Orleans, which Saints team are you going to see? This team was eliminated from postseason competition last week, and you just want to know how motivated are they going to be going into Tampa to take on the Bucs in a meaningless game. Tampa, on the other hand, gave the Saints all that they could handle earlier this year, and yes, they're 2-13. But this Bucs team under head coach Lovie Smith is going to be a tough out. New Orleans will show up just enough in this one, and thus I'm going to take the Saints at home by the score of 27-23. Now, for all of the marbles in the NFC South, if you want to call it that, it's the back end bowl as the 6-8-1 Carolina Panthers will be at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta to take on the 6-9 New Atlanta Falcons. Now, these two teams met earlier this season, and it was the Falcons that got the victory in Charlotte versus the Panthers. No Steven Jackson at running back in this one, for the Falcons, which means that they're going to have to rely on the rookie out of Florida State in Devontae Freeman. You look at both of these defenses, they have been playing well of late, and the same can be said for both quarterbacks, and Cam Newton for Carolina and Matt Ryan for Atlanta. Julio Jones this season at wide receiver has been a one-man wrecking crew for the Falcons, and he's going to make life tough for this Panthers secondary. This is going to be a tight game here, but it's been a month of Sundays since we've had a repeat division winner in the NFC South. The Panthers won this division last year, and because of that, I'm going to take the Falcons at home in this one by the score of 24-20. Now, the big one at 4:30 in the NFC North has the 11-4 Detroit Lions traveling to Lambeau Field to take on the 11-4 Green Bay Packers in a winner-take-all showdown in the NFC North for the division crown. Not only is the division crown on the line in this one, but more than likely a first-round bye along with the potential to have home field advantage. Now, these two teams did meet earlier this season at Ford Field in Detroit, and it was the Lions' defense that dominated Green Bay by the score of 19-7, which led Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers to give his infamous R-E-L-A-X speech. Now, for Detroit in this one, Matt Stafford, their quarterback, cannot force the football. If the Lions have more than two turnovers in this game, more than likely they're going to win. This is a classic game right here for the Lions where they won't show up. So they have to go against the trend of their franchise for about the last 60 years and go out there and shock the world. Detroit has not won a road game versus Green Bay since 1991. And that includes a few games at Old County Stadium in Milwaukee. Now, if you're Green Bay, or pardon me, if you're Detroit and you're worried about Stafford turning the football over, simply give the football to Joik Bell and get out of his way. What the Lions need to do in this game is they have to do the same thing that they did when they were able to knock off Green Bay, which is pressure him with their front led by Ziggy Ansah and, of course, defensive tackle in Ndamukong Suh. Now, I don't see Aaron Rodgers having two bad games against Detroit this season. Thus, I'm going to take the Pack at home by the score of 30-24. Now, the 3-12 Oakland Raiders are looking to finish strong as they will take on the 11-4 Denver Broncos. Now, I know Oakland is 3-12, and I'm saying finish strong because this was a team that actually began the year with a record of 0-10, and that a victory over Denver would mean that they'd finished the year 4-2 in their last six games, but it's going to be easier said than done against a Denver Bronco team that is looking to get back on the right track after losing this past Monday night to the Cincinnati Bengals, and with it, any chance for them to have a home field advantage throughout the postseason. The Broncos are favored by two touchdowns in this game, and you look to see them come out there and try to take care of business early versus this Raiders team. Now, Peyton Manning is still Peyton Manning at quarterback for the Broncos, but you look at the emergence of C.J. Anderson at running back and the way that this Denver defense, especially their pass rushers with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, like to get after people. I like the matchup in this game for Denver as far as their pass rushers versus this Oakland offensive line. And on top of that, I like the matchup of Denver's secondary versus Oakland's wide receivers. I believe that Denver has the ability to force at least one interception from Raiders rookie quarterback Derek Carr in this one. But at the same time, you have an old pro back there at safety for Oakland in Charles Woodson that could force Peyton Manning into making a turnover or two himself. I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference maker, though. Denver comes out early and they take care of business in this one, and they're going to get the victory at home by the score of 34-17. Now, out at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, it's the 11-4 Arizona Cardinals traveling to take on the 7-8 San Francisco 49ers. The Niners come into this game favored by 6.5 points in what more than likely is going to be the final game for Jim Harbaugh as the head coach of the 49ers. Of course, we've heard about all of the infighting for the past few years between Harbaugh and Niners general manager Trent Baalke. Right about now for the Arizona Cardinals, they are running out of quarterbacks, and I would not be surprised if head coach Bruce Arians was not on the phone with Neil Lomax or Jim Hart trying to get them to come out of retirement and start at quarterback at this game for the Arizona Cardinals. It's going to be Ryan Lindley once more, and the Cardinals do have talent at the wide receiver position, but they simply don't have the quarterback to get them the football. Now, on the flip side, the 49ers a month ago were 7-4, but you look at two losses to the Seattle Seahawks, a surprising loss on the road to the Oakland Raiders, and another shocking home loss last Saturday night after blowing a 21-point lead to the San Diego Chargers, and you have to believe that this team has mentally checked out this season. Thus, I'm going to take the Cardinals in the season sweep in a tight one, 17-16. Now, the 12-4 Seattle Seahawks host the 6-9 St. Louis Rams, and there's a lot on the line for Seattle as they have a chance to get home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. These two teams met earlier at the this year at the Edwards-Jones Dome in St. Louis, and it was the Rams that pulled the shocker on Seattle, and they did a lot of it based off of trick plays. Now, you can go to the well once, but when you keep going to the well against a team like Seattle, it's not going to work. And right now, the Seahawks are simply effectively running the football with Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch. And then you look at the defensive side of the ball for the Seahawks. Ever since Bobby Wagner has come back at middle linebacker from injury, this entire unit has their swagger back. And because of that, they're going to make it a little bit difficult for the Rams to get their first victory in Seattle since 2004. Thus, I'm going to take Seattle at home by the score of 27-16. And finally, on Sunday night, it's the 10-4-1 Cincinnati Bengals traveling to the Steel City to take on the 10-5 Pittsburgh Steelers for the AFC North Championship. Now, Pittsburgh comes into this game favored by 3.5 points over Cincinnati. These two teams met a few weeks ago at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, and after it being tight for three quarters, the Steelers asserted themselves in the fourth quarter as they won this one going away 42-21. For the Cincinnati Bengals, it's the same old song. Good Andy Dalton or bad Andy Dalton? Which one is going to show up in this one at quarterback for the Bengals? Cincinnati must run the football with Jeremy Hill early and often. A.J. Green at wide receiver is banged up right now, so he really cannot take advantage of this depleted Pittsburgh Steelers secondary. And on the flip side for Pittsburgh, Le'Veon Bell at running back has been a one-man wrecking crew, as he's not only doing it carrying the football, but he's also doing it blocking and catching the football coming out of the backfield. And you look at Antonio Brown at wide receiver. Are the Cincinnati Bengals defensively going to have to put a safety over the top to kind of blanket Antonio Brown as he tries to speed through that secondary for Cincinnati? You know, these are the type of games where the Cincinnati Bengals consistently come up short. Yes, they won at home on Monday Night Football versus the Denver Broncos, but can they do it 2 weeks in a row and win the division crown for a second consecutive year? I don't think the Bengals have it in them. Thus, I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers at home by the score of 27-20. Folks, those are my picks for week number 17 in the National Football League. Now, be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/300pounds of sports knowledge tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, as I will be recapping all of the day's action from week number 17 in the NFL. Now, if you're on Twitter, please feel free to follow me at 300 Pounds of Sports. And if you're on Facebook, you can check out the page and like it at 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. Once again, fine folks, my name is William Martin. Take care. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy those games. And more importantly, a very happy and healthy 2015.